And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Happy Tuesday. Glad to be with you on this 21st day of the month of January. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears on this Tuesday installment of the show. Indeed, is where we're rocking it out with the Sports Hub on FSA. Coming up towards the back half of the show, we've got an Aberdeen Wings Wings Weekly coming your way. And in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so, Britton Hecla girls basketball head coach Terry Nelson, he'll be joining us as well. We've got an abundance to get to here today on the program, including some postponements and cancellations. We'll take a look at the South Dakota Prep Media basketball poll. Those have officially been released for the week of January the 20th. Had a couple of games going on there last night, but mostly a lot of PPD, a whole lot of postponements. National championship went down there last night. I'm sure we'll talk about that here briefly as well. Plus the Timberwolves and the Wild in the mix, and a pretty busy Tuesday on tap, weather permitting and cold weather conditions permitting and all that good stuff. So a lot to get to today on the Sports Hub as I turn over to my compatriot, Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing a little bit better today. I'm good.
Doing okay. You're no longer in mourning?
I wouldn't say that, but I'm doing a little bit better.
How long does it usually take you to get over a bad loss?
I'd say probably a week. Once I'm watching the Bills-Chiefs game, I'll be okay.
You'll be all right?
Yeah.
I remember when the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots. I didn't watch any sports coverage for about a week.
Yep.
About a week. It's like, oh, didn't you watch SportsCenter last? Nope. Did not do that. You didn't go onto Twitter and see? Nope, I didn't. Ah, I missed that one. Did you hear what so-and-so said about? No, I just didn't see it. That's the best way to do it. You just go radio silent for about a good week.
Yeah, it takes me about a week. Now, I have dipped into like some more like Ravens podcasts and try to get their reaction, but I'm not going national at all. I don't need to hear anything about why this happened, why that happened in their perspective. I'm doing more like Baltimore Ravens show that's only focused on them.
To be honest with you, that's what always we should do as sports fans. And I don't know if I should say this or not, but the local guys are always better than the national guys. I mean, we've got national guys on our airwaves here. You know, we've got Doug Gottlieb and Colin Cowherd and, you know, Dan Patrick and all those other guys. But there's something about the local programming that's just better anyway. I mean, as a Seahawks fan, I can't tell you how many times I hear Colin Cowherd talk about the Seahawks. And I'm like, what the H are you talking about? Yep. You have no idea what you're talking about right now. I remember, I think it was last year, he was talking about certain position groupings that he really likes with the Seahawks. Oh, I really like their linebacking core. All of them were free agents. All of them were going to be gone next year. It's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. So when in doubt, go local.
Yep. And I made the point last week when we were talking about the Steelers.
Yeah.
If you talk to a Steelers fan, they think Mike Tomlin's time has run up. But if you talk to just a guy that follows the league, they tell you how great of a coach he is.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers guys who follow the team through and through, they want him gone. It's just the nature of the beast.
There's a very big disconnect between local and national. Big disconnect there.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt about it. It is what it is. It's one of those things. He's Matt McClure, Mr. Local. We also call him
Mr. Unlimited
here on FSA. And speaking of keeping it local, I've got a local story. Actually, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. Well, kind of a mishmash to a certain degree. First one, though, we got to give our boy some love. I'm talking about Ryan Deal, which, by the way, is the South Dakota Sports Caster of the Year, Sports Writer of the Year. Sports Writer of the Year. We announced that, I think, 2 weeks ago, so big shout out to him. But I saw him tweet this out last night with the Notre Dame and Ohio State National Championship game. See, this was kind of a weird game for me because Notre Dame is just a bunch of Catholic dudes, and I'm Catholic, so I'm very much pro-Catholic. And then Ohio State, I've got a bunch of family that went to Ohio State. My dad's from Ohio. He's a huge Ohio State fan. So it's a win-win for me.
Have you ever been to the Horseshoe?
I've never been to the Horseshoe. That's probably a bucket list item, I feel like, for me.
Never been either. I had a couple friends that went to Ohio State, Penn State last year, but it's somewhere I've never been.
I've never been to a D1 football game.
Oh, man. It's fun.
From the perspective of, like, a Power 4. It was Power 4.
Power 4 now, right? Now, yeah.
Yeah, Power 4. I haven't been to Ohio State. I haven't seen Michigan play at the Big House.
That would be a bucket list for me.
Yeah.
Big time.
That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. Just to have a straight up Saturday with the boys.
Oh yeah.
Really tailgating.
I haven't been to a Penn State game in years. I haven't been probably since 2019, 2018. It's been a while.
Been a long time for sure. But anyways, Ryan Deal, he tweeted this out yesterday. Piers Lincoln Keenholz, of course, he was a governor, multiple state champ winner there at the AA level. He is, of course, the backup quarterback for Ohio State. Well, he's now an FBS national champion. He's the first South Dakotan to win an FBS national championship since Aberdeen Central's Josh Heupel led Oklahoma to the year 2000 title. So congratulations to Lincoln Keenholz. That's kind of our local connection. So
Sure. Big
shout out to Ryan Deal for that.
Yeah, good stuff. Really good stuff. He played in the bowl game last year versus Missouri. And
yeah.
And sometimes you see when you bring in another quarterback, because Will Howard, actually, oddly enough, kind of from my hometown in Downingtown, PA. That's where he went to Downingtown East, and he played in Kansas State. And then he transferred to Ohio State, but my point is...
Represent.
Exactly. Sometimes you see when you get a transfer quarterback in, the guy that was currently there leaves to maybe play somewhere else. He stuck it out, and he's got a national championship to his name now.
Gotta love that. No doubt about it. Speaking of things you gotta love, I am a big fan of Notre Dame's head coach, Marcus Freeman.
Oh, he's a good dude.
He just looks like a salt-of-the-earth kind of guy and somebody that, if I had a son, I'd want my son to play for a guy like that. And he was talking about something that we talk about all the time on these fair airwaves, multi-sport athletes. He was quoted the other day talking about multi-sport athletes. Quote, "What I really love about it is sometimes they're not as good in the other sports as they are in football, and so they're willing to put their ego aside and say, you know something, I know I might lose in track, but I'm going to try to make myself better as an athlete." That speaks volumes to me, and that's a quote from Marcus Freeman. So, big fan of the multi-sport athletes there from Marcus Freeman.
And it just goes to show our point that, yes, you might not be as good at a different sport as maybe your number one sport, but all sports can help you with that number one sport that you're trying to pursue.
I think it's big in the mentality aspect. To your point, there are definitely things that translate, like high school wrestlers in football.
Yes.
There's a lot of crossover there, for sure. But I think
especially if you're like you're a linebacker or a lineman.
Yeah, exactly. Tate Huff.
Good example.
Perfect example, right? So I think there's a lot of crossover there, but I think just mentally there is just a different, for lack of a better term, mindset for some of those guys and gals that play multiple sports. That also crosses over into the other sports as well. And did you see Ryan Day's celebration last night?
I did not.
So he got about a 15 to 20, looks like, yard running start on one of the final plays of the game and just ripped his headset off and just threw it into the crowd. Just ripped it off, just tossed it right into the crowd. What do you think somebody gets for that on eBay? Hey, I got Ryan Day's national championship headset.
Probably a couple hundred.
You could probably get some coin for that, right?
No doubt. When you think he's going, you know how like when a receiver or running back, when they have the quarterback's like first career touchdown and
yes,
they throw it into the stands, and then you got the security guard trying to get the ball back?
Yes.
You think they had somebody try to get the headset back for Ryan Day?
Probably so. Hey, coach, that's like, you know how much money that costs us? It's like, I know we got an unlimited NIL, feels like, but hey, you know what? We're going to need that back, actually. So I'm going to see if I can find that on social media, and I'll retweet it there from our Twitter account. And, that's not it there. Yeah, I gotta go ahead and find this thing. It's good stuff. By the way, speaking of which, here it is. Speaking of which... Just into the crowd. What is that? Unbelievable.
Sometimes you see the spike with something with that. He just tossed it.
He just got running start throw.
Oh, that's an A1 Gatorade bath too.
Very much so.
How about the Gatorade bath from the front, which you don't see?
You don't see that very often at all.
Great execution from the sideline there.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, they just basically deuced this guy with Gatorade. That guy is having the time of his life. But you know something, and I'm going to say this might be my hottest take ever. If you polled 100 Ohio State fans, probably 15 of them would say, you know what, we also lost to Michigan.
Yep.
You won the whole thing. That's what matters the most, but I guarantee maybe that number's too high.
No,
maybe,
I think maybe it's too low. I think it's higher than that.
You think so?
Yep, I think it's way higher than that.
But yeah, a good amount of them are still angry because they lost to Michigan.
Yep, and Michigan fans are saying, hey, congrats, you won the national championship, but you lost to us.
Right.
It's a tough, but hey, they don't care about that at Ohio State right now.
Yeah, they shouldn't. They shouldn't care. You won the whole thing. That's really what matters the most, and the throw.
The celebration is a 10 out of 10.
I love that. I love that.
The Gatorade bath execution there is unbelievable.
And green, too.
That green. What are we doing with the green Gatorade?
Underrated.
It's underrated.
I'm a green Gatorade
guy. I don't think
guy.
I've ever had green Gatorade in my life.
It's definitely different. I'm not a big Gatorade guy in general, but it's not bad. It's not too bad. And finally, before we bring in girls basketball head coach Terry Nelson from Britton Hecla. Of course, yesterday was Inauguration Day. President Donald Trump is now the 47th president of the country. And if you go onto social media, the memes are absolutely phenomenal. And to bring this back to sports, of course, you get a lot of these executive orders on day one. He signed one. Well, at least the meme anyway says, Creed must play the Super Bowl forever, Donald Trump. So that's good stuff. I mean, Creed's not going to play the Super Bowl. Who is performing at the Super Bowl this year? Who's the halftime show? Do you know?
Yes, I do. It's Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, that's
what do
right.
you know about him?
Not much.
Yeah.
I know he's a hip-hop artist.
Yeah, it's going to be like present hip-hop.
Sure.
Which I guess if you're – I mean, I'm not that into it.
Right.
But people are. I'd rather see like a country act or
sure.
somebody like Creed.
Yeah. Can you imagine Creed? God, that'd be so cool. I just need something with instruments. I'm a big instruments guy.
Yeah, you're not getting that with Kendrick Lamar.
No, I don't think so. I
mean, you could see some maybe features on it,
mm-hmm.
which could be cool. Like, oh, this guy's still around?
Yeah.
that's always what happens. Remember when the Snoop Dogg won?
I didn't watch that one.
It was like Snoop Dogg and then
Eminem
50 Cent and all yeah. those guys. You're like, these guys are still like making music and stuff?
That was the one in L.A., right?
Yeah, I was 21.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm not watching this. It's just not my style. It's not my cup of tea. I need something with instruments. Like, my top three are U2 right after 9/11, Prince.
Bro,
in the
Prince is great.
Prince in the Rain is phenomenal. And I'm also a big fan of kind of a sneaky Bruno Mars. When Bruno Mars was banging on the drums, I thought that was awesome. I thought he was really good. He was dancing like crazy. I thought that was good.
He's a good solo act.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So those are like my top. Well, also, I'm kind of, you know.
Who was last year? I'm completely blanking.
Was it J-Lo last year? Or was that 2 years ago?
I'm not sure. We got to find that out.
Yeah, I remember we watched the Super Bowl together.
Did we watch the halftime?
I think so. Must not have been very memorable.
Yeah,
clearly.
You know what we were doing? We were watching the Prince and the Rain during the halftime.
We might have been. We might have.
I remember that now. We were like, you were like, oh, have you ever seen the Prince of the Rain?
Yeah, this sucks. Let's watch Prince in the Rain instead. It's better anyway. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some Britton Hecla girls hoops as the head coach of the squad, Terry Nelson, joins us on the phone line. Sports Hub are rocking and rolling on this Tuesday on Fox Sports Aberdeen and Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up here in just a bit. But first and foremost, we're talking some Britton Hecla girls basketball. Terry Nelson is the head coach of the Braves. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, congratulations on win number 400, and thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Good. Just a little chilly, but we'll be warmed up later today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We were on the plus side of zero, so we can take that as a victory. We'll certainly chalk that up for 401. We'll take that as a victory, and we'll warm up our hands. I've got my coffee here in studio, and my blood flow is it's never great, so I'm just trying to do everything I can to warm up as well. But that's a good place to start, certainly, is career victory number 400. Coach Paul Rosch just got a milestone here a couple weeks ago for Castlewood. Congratulations to him. And there's something about milestones on these airwaves. We talk with these great head coaches. And what's that one mean to you, Coach? 400, that's a big deal.
Well, I didn't think I was going to ever get it because I got out of coaching in 2014. I worked for the county highway. Then when I turned 65 at 2022, I was watching basketball. I got nothing to do. I guess I'll get back into coaching again.
Yeah.
So, like, of course, the first day of the summer, Michaela Zalke went down with a torn ACL. Then the next year, I had a girl tear Achilles tendon. Then this year, my star, Sterling Brassfield, blew her ACL. She was planning on playing college ball, and she was 140 points away from getting 1,000, so we lost my main dribbler and scorer and all-conference player, and we're trying to survive here these last 10 games, and my big thing is to get better at the end of the year, which at times we look good, at times, you know, it just doesn't look good, but these are practice games and see what happens during the regions.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. That's kind of what you're looking for. You've been doing it a while, just always trying to find steady growth with your team as the season moves along, and by the end, you want to feel like you're playing your best basketball.
Oh, yeah, we played some good competition, too. It's a good thing about it. And a week and a half ago, I lost one of my freshmen that come off the bench. She's got some cracked vertebrae, so she's done for the year. But next one come up, and we'll teach another young one how to play ball.
This is like an episode of House. Like, geez, I'm crow. Yeah. ACLs, yeah. And Achilles, and now broken vertebra. My goodness. What kind of, like,
yeah.
Day County basketball, Marshall County basketball, Roberts County up there. It's just brutal. Are these just like freak accidents, or what's going on over there?
Well, I saw Sterling. They're playing in the summer, and her dad was sitting by me, or that was Michaela. And I said, she just blew her knee. Because I've seen plenty of them. You ought to see my operations. And she said, no, she didn't. I said, yeah, she did. And when no one was by her, I said, her knee went. And sure enough, it was her knee. Then the Achilles, the gal was playing volleyball in the summer, and she was wiggling back and forth, and it popped. Then Sterling did it in volleyball, where she went up and boom. And we don't know where Corinne's came from. Maybe volleyball, or she said she never fell down or anything, but it's what it is, and like I said, we got a lot of young girls, so everybody's stepping up and learning a lot of new things now.
You said you got back into coaching after being out for, you know, a couple of years there. You know, was it a no-brainer when they asked you to come back? Did you have to think about it? What was kind of your perspective on that?
No, I wasn't asked. I just wanted to get back into it. I had to have something to do, and I'm a basketball. I'm a junkie. My dad, he was a national champ. He played for USD, and I've been in basketball all my life. My brothers and I were all staters, and I played college ball and college football and year track, and I played on some good teams at here in college, and I'm a basketball guy, so I had to get back into it. I was out of it for over nine years, so no, I had to get back to it. The blood was still there.
That's pretty impressive, the fact that you're even out that long. You sound like a basketball junkie for sure, as we're talking with Terry Nelson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And for people that don't really know a whole heck of a lot about you and your background, before coaching at Britton Hecla, where were you at and kind of your coaching style, if you will?
Okay, before I came up here in college, where we're conference champs my junior year, then my senior year, we're runner-up with a 22-6 record, and most of the guys were all from South Dakota. And by the way, we beat Northern four times that year.
Did you have to go there? I mean, is that necessary?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And even have to tell the Bud Man.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, after that, I went to Dubrook for a year and turned that program 14-7. Then didn't know if I wanted to do it. Went back to construction. My dad had a ditch witch. I got him now to teach and to dig some holes because I dug holes. I did that for a year. Then I said, I got to get back into it. So I went up to Cheyenne Eagle Butte. I was out there for 8 years. 4 years I was a head coach, and we went to state tournament in 86. And we got beat in the regions in 87. Then the 87-88 year, where you won the LNI, and then we went to state tournament that year, too. When we won the LNI, we knocked off Hot Springs and Custer, with Larry coaching there, then Pine Ridge 39-game win streak. And that was the blizzard of 88. You guys probably weren't around when that happened.
I wasn't born yet, Coach.
And that was the state A's. Yeah, so winning that LNI, another knock, like you're going to the state tournament. You play in front of 6,000 people and everything. Then later I went to Chamberlain for 5 years. I was an assistant football coach and head coach 1 year. Then I was a junior high coach. I got state coach of the year. Then my oldest son was a sophomore. He wanted me to coach him. So I ended up putting my name in the hat and got up to Hecla Rockets. Didn't know anything about the kids. And all of a sudden, boom, we're 20-5 and got six in the state. The next year, we're 20-1. Us and Warner had to fight off. Both of us are 20-1, and someone had to lose, and it was my Rockets, and they end up getting second. Then we became Frederick and Hecla. So I was a assistant football coach for 4 years. Then I was the boys' basketball coach for the rest of those 6 years. Then later the girls' job came up, and the girls begged me. I had them in track. They were my managers. They were my cheerleaders. They're in the gym with me all the time. So I decided to get out of football and went to basketball. Then, 98, we were 23-1. We got beat in the semis. One of my girls got sick at halftime hyperventilating. Well, we'll never know what happened, but we got third. The next 2 years, we're 22-2 and got fifth. Then the fourth year, be the last year of our Hecla, somehow my girls played hard and we got into the state tournament. Even though Dolan Condi and Warner are better, and we got through there, and we ended up 17-7, got eighth place. Then we had a big crying session because I was going to Britain, and they were going back to Frederick. So yeah. Then I got the Britain Hecla job for 6 years for boys, and I was a junior high football coach, and then I was eight. Then I was a track coach. My son was a 7-time place winner and shot and disc and won it 1 year. And then I got out because I always worked in the summer for the highway. And then I was sitting around watching. I always went to the games and everything. And so anyhow, I got back into it. So there's my little short version of what I did. I coached a lot of great kids. I had a couple of All-Americans. Michelle Bruns played for Southwest. Missy, her sister, played for Black Hills. Brittany Clipful from Frederick, she was a second-team All-American NAIA at Black Hills. My little Shannon Daly left me at one time, and they went to Groton. Then she played for Southwest State with Michelle, then played for the U, and I was down there, and they got second place in the nation. Coached Ashley Fossness, she went to a Minnesota school and played 4 years. Then had Josh Thorpe, Jess Frawling, and Luke Bruns played from Hecla, played college ball. And Rob Mendoza from Eagle Butte played, and Jason Logg that played on my grade school teams back with my oldest boy. So I coached a lot of grade school, junior high, and JV games also in between. I probably coached more of those than I did varsity games. But I'm having fun right now, so keep me young. I'll be 68 in February, so.
Yeah,
I just got done with three operations on my ankle, kind of moving around, but I put a brace on it so I can get after it a little bit.
Yeah, I remember last year you were in the boot for a good part of the year last year.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That was three ankle surgeries and two different ankles for two straight years. Yeah, it wasn't. I'll just tell the kids that was my Duncan foot going off. Because I got second in state in high jump back when I was littler.
All right. Well, good stuff. I think we got time for maybe one more here before we let you go here, Coach. We got our Wings Weekly to air here in a little bit. But what's it going to take to kind of get this thing continue to going towards the tail end of the season, middle end of the season here to kind of start to turn that corner and play some of your better basketball towards the tail end here?
Well, we got to keep our defense going, and we got to put that ball in the hole, make free throws. But most important, we got to quit having the turnovers. And we're playing a lot of tough teams this last 10 games. 7 out of 10 have winning records. And a lot of them are in the top 25 in Class A and Class B. And we got to put four quarters together. I'd say we probably put two. So, you know, you got to start getting consistent out here. So they work hard, but yet it's just a matter of you got to get with that little more grr, I always call it. So.
Just,
we got to get after it, and we like to press and get up and down the floor and try to make the open shot. I lost a lot of my inside players the last 2 years, so more about outside shooting. But if we can get a layup, we'll gladly take that layup.
Well, tell the girls no more injuries. Just tell them that. That's the that's the
yeah. I did have Myler Center. She had a bad shoulder, so this So she's been off it for 4 days. So hopefully that's good, because she's averaging about 7 points and 9 rebounds from me coming off the bench. So hopefully she's healed up now. We'll find out today.
No doubt about it. Ice pack, heating pad, all that good stuff. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations on career victory number 400, Coach. Really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and joining us here. Congratulations again, and good luck the rest of the season.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Head coach Terry Nelson joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. That guy brings the juice, huh?
Well, I was really excited
basketball
for him.
Guy.
I was really excited for him to come on just because he's been coaching for so long. And I did a couple of their games in his first year in Britain, and just watching him on the sideline. He's into it. He's into it. Even like when they call timeout and just what he'd be saying in the timeout. When I was doing Britain games, I'd always have one ear open because I'd always want to hear what he'd say, just because he's that kind of character, larger than life, you know. And him going through his entire basketball background was awesome.
That was epic.
That was awesome.
That was
I loved every second of that.
That was an all-time moment right there for sure. And today, by the way, should be pointed out, today is National One-Liners Day. And the fact that he said we had the cry fest, I muted my mic during that, but I was almost crying laughing over here when he said that. So that's a great moment, great interview with Terry Nelson. And again, congratulations to him on career victory number 400. We'll come on back and take a look at some polls and wrap up this live portion of the show. We've got an Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up before you know it. Sports Hub continues on FSA, 1420 and 98.5. Our thanks to Coach Nelson for taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us here and really kind of running the gamut of his resume. And I was going to make the joke that I don't think, because they always tell you whenever you got a job interview, you're like, that's it. You've got one page. That's your resume. It's one page. You can't go over to the second page.
Yes.
I don't know if he's going to have room for all of that on one page.
No. That's why it was epic.
Oh, that was awesome. That's an all-time moment right there on the Sports Hub on FSA. So, Coach Nelson, appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and joining us. The South Dakota Prep Media basketball polls, those are out. We'll talk about those here in just a second. A lot of postponements from last night, and Britton Hecla against Wabe Summit was certainly one of those. All of these have makeup dates to be announced, at least that I've seen anyway. Harriet Selby against South Border, Wabe Summit against Britton Hecla, GPL and Clark Willow Lake, Waverly South Shore against Florence Henry, Northwestern against Potter County on the girls' side. That has been postponed to January the 30th. So check out more details there.
Yeah, I got one here. Britton Hecla and Wabe Summit, their game has been rescheduled Thursday, February 13th, starting at 4.
Okay.
So that's the JV and then the varsity to follow after that.
All right, jot that down here. My mom's birthday, so shout out to mom. I think she's turning, I probably shouldn't say that on the radio. Nevertheless, all right, there you go. 13th of February there with the JV starting up at 4 p.m. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the consolation and championship semifinals of the 281 Conference Tournament. All right, taking a look at the polls from yesterday, Aberdeen Central, they make the leapfrog from RV to number 5. They are now in the top 5. Big one tonight against O'Gorman.
Yeah, it really is. This is a massive game for them here tonight. I just think the biggest key is handling this O'Gorman press. They press, they come right out of the gate, and I'm interested to hear the coach's philosophy on that, because I feel like when you press, especially early and often, that's a mentality thing more than anything else. And I'm interested to hear about the mentality that they have on the defensive end, because they're so good on defense, they force teams in mistakes, and they are able to score off of those mistakes. And I think another big thing, Tukes, to think about is there's going to be runs in this game tonight. How do you respond when O'Gorman goes on an 8-0 run or a 10-2 run? That's going to be another thing I'm looking at here tonight.
Can you weather the storm?
Yep.
Because they're going to
go on a run.
Yeah, they're going to be storming for sure. I mean, that's just who they are. We ran the numbers yesterday. What was it, 35 straight
35
wins?
35 straight wins.
35 straight wins for the Knights there of O'Gorman. And
we heard Coach Nelson.
Yeah.
You know, 39. They ended a 39-game win streak on one of his teams that he was talking about. Just saying.
Maybe that's an omen.
Is it a sign?
Maybe.
Just saying.
Yeah, it could be an interesting one tonight. Looking forward to that over at Sunny 97.7 with Matt McClure on the play-by-play. And also of note, an abundance of high school action for tonight as well. Roncalli and TZ, not one of them. That matchup has been postponed, but Falkton will play Aberdeen Christian for a twin bill at 6:30 and 8 o'clock over on KSDN with Ryan Martin on the call. Wings Weekly, that's coming up next.
Welcome to this week's edition of Wings Weekly. My name is Aaron Smith, not Jay Klein Connect. He is out sick today, so we're hoping he gets a speedy and quick recovery and is able to join us again. I'm here, as always, with head coach and general manager Scott Langer. Scott, obviously here to talk about this previous weekend, dropping both games against Minot. Not the outcome you wanted, but I thought the effort was there throughout the weekend, especially Friday night. Just talk about the weekend in general, I guess. What were your thoughts?
You can't fault the effort, that's for sure. Both nights there was solid effort. For the guys, we played 11 forwards both nights, so there was a lot of ice time for guys, and we were doubling up on the left side, so, there was a guy going every other shift, and I thought the energy level both nights were really good. Obviously on Saturday night I felt, and then going back and looking at the video, that we outplayed them. We made those two mistakes that they capitalized on. The one errant pass to the middle of the ice there in the first period, and then obviously the one in the towards the end there with the puck off the glass, and they got behind us for the breakaway. So we made two mistakes, we lost the game. But on the other side of that is, we're not scoring, our normal amount. We're usually over three a game on average. And right now when you don't score, you only score one, that's tough. That's putting a lot of pressure on your goaltending. And that's got to change hopefully this week.
Yeah, like you mentioned, scoring's been hard to come by, especially against Minot this year. Only one goal in the four games played against him, Cole Satterall, and getting that goal. His third of the season on Friday night, giving the lead to the Wings in the first period. Minot able to get three back at the end of the game in the third period, including one empty net goal. Like you said, a couple of mistakes there ended up costing. The Wings went 0-for-4 on the power play. Minot 1-for-5 shots on goal. They kind of controlled that aspect of well, but like you said, good effort overall. I thought they came out really fired up and got that opening goal, but weren't able to hold on. Saturday ended up taking a 0-3 loss. Minot got two in the first and had another in the third. We did have a goal disallowed there in the first period, which seemed like a quick whistle. Obviously, there wasn't a question of if the puck crossed the net. Referee said he blew the whistle first, which would have tied it up. So what does that kind of do as far as the bench goes, momentum-wise, and everything else? How does that affect the game? I know you don't want to comment on the ref.
It's a big swing, right? It's the difference between 1-1 and a lot of energy and optimistic approach down to down 2-0 really quick. When you go back and you watch that whole thing, it was clearly loose. It was clearly in the net, and he just didn't get to where he was supposed to be to make the right call. But again, this is a development league, and we have to basically just take it and move on. We're expected to bounce back after something like that, but it's hard. You're playing a good team. They have their full lineup. Birch did a great job on that loose puck to put it in the back of the net, when goals are hard to come by. And, again, luck wasn't on our side. But you have to still look at the two mistakes we made to lead towards the two breakaways that they ended up scoring on. We have to clean those type of things up. When you're not scoring, you better be good defensively.
Yeah, definitely. And shots on goal, quite a turnaround there. Like you said, like we've been preaching, the effort was there. And kind of got rewarded as far as shots on goal, just not on the scoreboard, but almost over doubling up the Minotauros on shots on goal, 43-22 in that game. Neither team had a power play goal. Kind of putting that to rest now, looking at the upcoming schedule. It's, hate to say it, but it doesn't get any easier, especially in the Central Division here. Week in and week out, it's kind of a grind, especially with coming in later on in the year, you kind of seeing the different teams jumping up and down. And we've got at Austin this weekend, which will invite them to the OD the following weekend. So four straight against Austin. They split this last weekend against Watertown at home. What are your kind of thoughts on looking at the Bruins? It's been a while since they've been here. This will be our first trip to Austin this year.
Yeah, you know, when we played some really good hockey against them the first time we seen them here, there were some really good games. Their goaltending stood up there in that second game that we ended up dropping. But, you know, they're always a really structured team. Coach Howard always has a lot of structure to his team's game, and you know they're good on their home ice. So the good thing is we might get some guys back that are going to help us. You know, but you know it's going to be hard for the rest of the year, and you know we have to embrace that. We have to want that. We don't want an easy schedule, but we know that we have to take some points here with these teams we're playing. You know, with our schedule coming. So, but we look forward to going to Austin. Getting on the road a little bit and playing there in Riverside. So, but they're a good team. They made a trade, brought in another goal scorer lately. So they'll have a little more depth to their game. But we got to go in there with a mentality that we're just going to outwork them and you know get a couple goals and defend really hard.
Yeah, definitely an opportunity coming up these past couple weeks and through the next couple weekends to get some points for teams that are in front of us. Current look at the standings, Bismarck is on top with 58 points. Austin slowly making their way up with 52 points. Minot right behind them with 51. The Wings are sitting at 41 right now in the final playoff spot. St. Cloud with 34, North Iowa 32, and Minnesota and Watertown are now tied at 21. So definitely tightening up as the stretch comes down here. So good luck this coming weekend and going forward, and best of luck to you and the team.
Thanks, sir.
Yep. We'll be right back with Ryan and one of the players.
All right, Wings fans, welcome to the second portion of Wings Weekly. I'm also not Jay Klein-Connect. I'm Ryan Umora. Again, we wish Jay a speedy recovery from illness. Joining me here is Bryce Johnson from Briar, Washington. Briar, where is that located in Washington?
Yeah, it's about like 30 minutes north of Seattle. So, yeah.
Awesome. And compared to Aberdeen, I know you haven't been here. You've only been here for what, like 4 days? But try to compare that to Aberdeen for some of our community and locals here.
I just noticed it's super cold here.
Yeah.
And especially today, I think it's negative 16. So it's been a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm. But size of Briar, is it comparable to Aberdeen? Is it?
I feel like Aberdeen's a bit smaller than where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I mean, Briar is like, it's a small like neighborhood town in Seattle, but like people in Seattle probably don't even know what Briar is. Mm-hmm. But everywhere around me is a lot bigger than here. So That's been new for me.
And watching this back, my dad would kill me if I don't ask this because we're big into March Madness. And my dad's from Spokane.
Okay.
So are you a Gonzaga fan when it comes to college basketball?
If I was a bandwagon, I would say I could be one, but I got a root for UW. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. So coming here then, because you played with the New Mexico Ice Wolves recently, is this your first time coming to the Midwest?
No, I've been to Minnesota plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time out here. I've never lived out here, though.
Okay, awesome. So kind of getting into your hockey career, how did you first get into hockey then? Was there anyone in your life that played before you, or were you a first-generation hockey player?
Yeah, I'm a first-generation hockey player. I was playing street hockey out, like some of my neighbors invited me to play street hockey. And then I went back to my house and I told my mom to sign me up for ice hockey, and the rest is history.
Awesome. So outside of hockey then, what are some of the hobbies?
I'm just hanging out with my friends. I love country music, so go to country music festivals, and I love to go on the lake. There's lakes by my house, so I always go water skiing, wake surfing, all that.
And like we said, you came from New Mexico, and we found out that you were coming, what, Thursday night? Drove here, and you played Friday night as well, came here like right before morning skate. What was the turnaround like for you to get here and then lace up immediately and play?
Yeah, it was tough. It was definitely just I would say as a wing it game. I was just trying to get through it. I obviously try and play as best I could, but I was sleep deprived and I was on lots of caffeine, so that was tough.
And as a first line center too, I mean, you played well.
Yeah.
I mean,
I appreciate it.
You know, from someone who doesn't play hockey or anything like that. But fans were coming up to me and saying stuff and pointing you out and noticing as well. So, you know, kudos to you for being able to have that turnaround and be able to flip the switch and get into that mindset and everything too. So
thank you.
Coming into the locker room too, I know Coach Hershot mentioned that you knew Sal Calora, who played with us last year, that you've skated with him and everything. So coming in, what were you expecting coming into Aberdeen? What had you heard? You know, was there anything that you were excited about knowing coming in?
Yeah, I hadn't heard any bad things. I heard a lot of good things from Sal himself, and he said he loved it there, so... I love to hear. So yeah, I was super excited to come. I've heard so many good things about the organization, and yeah.
And what is it like, what has it been for you over the past couple of days? Were there any guys that have really stood out to you that helps to introduce you to the rest of the team or showing you around town or anything like that?
Yeah, my roommates, Luke Backler and Cade Moxham, have been awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yep. Captains too,
yeah.
You know, classic things for them. This is kind of a Jay question too, just that he likes to ask some of the guys. Is there anyone that plays, you know, in the NHL or anything like that you try to like model your game after? And if so, why?
I would say my favorite team before the Seattle Kraken was the LA Kings. So I always tried to model my game after Anze Kopitar. Mm-hmm. He's a good lefty, solid center. He's just a good player. I always loved watching him.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get along well because the Seattle Kraken is my favorite team too.
That's so awesome. That's awesome.
And just another question, because like you said before, it is -17 outside. So we kind of have to get our mindset into the warm. If you had a dream vacation destination, where would it be?
Ooh, I would say I want to go to like Cabo or Mexico. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about that. Like I've been to Hawaii and stuff, so I want to go to like Cabo. I think
I've been begging my parents for Bora Bora.
Yeah,
like for months cool. now, and. Pre-game, what's the routine look like for you? The pre-game meal, is there a nap usually? I know everyone on here has like their nap scheduled in.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh yeah. I mean, pre-game skate and then come home. I always get Jersey Mike's if we're at home. Always get Jersey Mike's.
And we just got one here, so you came at the perfect time. It like just opened like, before you got here.
Everybody that knows me knows I like. Love Jersey Mike's before games, and then I'll get my Jersey Mike's, go home, get my, I like to get like a 2-hour nap in, and then Heather, my billet mom, makes me spaghetti and meatballs, and then eat that, head to the rink, and then there's just a ton of stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. That we don't have time for that.
Too much to go into, yeah. Too much detail there. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. All right. Well, I know you've only played one team in our division here. I know, and I know they ended up being in losses, but kind of looking at the positives, what were some positives that you can pick out from the weekend games that we can kind of take into our games going into this weekend?
I mean, I felt it was the score didn't resemble it in the second game for sure. I felt like we totally outplayed them. Mm-hmm. Just got a little unlucky on some bounces. Like, we totally outshot them. So, I mean, I think we just got to learn how to score more goals, but that'll come. I also know we got a ton of new boys here in the locker room. So that will come with, like, chemistry. And, yeah, I think we're going to be good, especially it's a good Minot team. So next weekend heading into Austin, I think we'll be fine.
Awesome. Well, like you said, this weekend's games, Friday, January 24th and 25th, we go to the Austin Bruins. 7:05 p.m. puck drop scheduled for both nights. This Friday night, there will be a watch party at City Lights Bar and Event Center here in Aberdeen, or you can tune in to NAHLTV.com or listen on 94.1 The Rock, HubCityRadio.com, or The Rock app. The next home games are Friday and Saturday, January 31st and February 1st. Friday the 31st is Farmers Union Insurance Food Drive Night. Bring 3 non-perishable food items or $10 and receive a Farmers Union Insurance Wings jersey. Saturday the 1st is I Hate Winter Night, so plan to dress accordingly, especially since today we're really hating winter. It's negative 17 outside. Tickets available for all Wings home games at tickets@aberdeenwings.com, or you can get them at all CXpress locations here in Aberdeen. Prorated sponsorships and reserved season tickets are now available for the remainder of the 2024-2025 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit aberdeenwings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, Wings fans, well, thank you for tuning in to this week's Wings Weekly. Bryce Johnson, thank you so much for joining us on this week's show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and that'll wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.
And once again, that's your Aberdeen Wings Wings Weekly. The Wings are back on the road this upcoming weekend as they'll travel down to Austin, Minnesota to take on the Bruins. 7:05 for your puck drop on Friday night and Saturday night there as well. Wings will bring in the Austin Bruins coming up the following weekend on the 31st of January and February the 1st back at the Odie Ice Center. That's it for us and our time together here today. We are back at it tomorrow with a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen.